I guess this is what they call global warming, boys.
20 yeah, degrees. Brooklyn. Fake. Brooklyn's nothing. It's 10 degrees in Michigan. I got up at 3:45 in the morning
uphill.
To drive a truck 45 minutes to Grand Rapids to get out of the truck and look at my phone and be like, oh, I wonder what temperature it is. It was 8 degrees. It was 8 fucking degrees. I was wearing 2 sets of long underwear, 2 pairs of wool socks, 4 layers up top, hat, gloves, mask, everything. I was cold as fuck.
The number tells you how many layers of long underwear you should be wearing. You should be wearing 8 layers if it's 8 degrees.
That's no, right. Not at all. That's entirely incorrect. You have to go the exact opposite direction. So what you're doing by wearing a bunch of layers, long underwear, jackets, socks, you're accustoming your body to being warm and bundle up. What you need to do is microdose frostbite in order to build up a tolerance, and eventually you'll be able to survive in even the most hypothermic of conditions.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that was how I felt when I was coming home today, because I had so many stops and it was so fucking cold. And then I get home, or well, I get back to my car and I run a couple errands, and then I finally get home and I'm walking up to my door and I'm like, is it getting warmer out, or have I just been so cold all day that I'm finally starting to get used to it?
So wait, is like getting in a hot tub when it's freezing outside, is that kind of like doing a speedball? You got like the hot and the cold at the same time.
Oh my God.
You need a really high tolerance for both to
absolutely.
Handle it.
Absolutely.
That's my favorite thing to do, because like then you stand up out of the hot tub and your top half is really cold and your bottom half is really hot and your middle is extremely comfortable and you're like Homer from that scene in The Simpsons where he gets pinned by an ice sculpture during a fire.
When I was on vacation out west once, I got the opportunity to, during a fucking blizzard, take a dip in a hot spring.
Hell
like
yeah.
105 degree hot spring.
Oh,
so,
wow.
And so like, but like, you know, it's like a camping lodge. So you're like in a wood cabin. There's not like a, you know, a lot of facilities there. Mm-hmm. And you're like waddling with a towel around you from the little cabin to the hot spring. And it's fucking freezing. So like, and it's probably like 100 feet. You got to like make it to the hot spring. And then you get in the hot spring and you're torso down is basically like cooking like a lobster, and then from your like shoulders up you're in a blizzard. It's sick.
That sounds
so by
so
law
great.
Of averages
that like yeah. that photo of those monkeys in the hot spring with like ice all over their beards and shit.
So sick.
That's
those
the monkey we should return to, is being those monkeys specifically.
Yeah,
I did. I literally did exactly. I returned to being exactly those monkeys.
My cousin told me a really funny story that happened when he was in high school. So this was like 2 decades ago at this point, I think. But sure. In some science class, they were watching a video that was about like heat conservation, or some kind of like, you know, science video about how heat works. And so it was like a video of some guys like sitting in a hot tub and then like jumping into a cold lake. Except when they got out of the hot tub, they were all butt naked and their dicks were hanging out. And so his teacher tried to like jump in front of it to block the screen. Only it was a projector. So then it was just like being projected onto their bodies, these 3 naked guys running into the water.
I'll never forget the day my professor, my science professor, had a dick projected onto his hand because he was trying to have some decency in the classroom.
I don't really know how that something like that ends up at a high school, but maybe just someone didn't check it. It was back from the 60s or something, before, you know, people cared about seeing dicks in school.
That is funny that just like 50 or 60 years ago they would make an instructional film and they would be like, let's have some naked men get out of a hot tub and jump into some cold water to prove a point about heat. Well, yeah, that's why we're doing it.
Well, speaking of being naked, or I guess nakedly exposing your true intentions, did you guys catch the USA Today thread today, just a couple of hours ago? It's since been deleted, but it's 4 p.m. now. At 10 a.m. today, USA Today posted a thread entitled, "We Think We Know What a Pedophile Is. There's a lot we're misunderstanding."
What? No, I did not see that.
Coincidentally, this comes right after Ghislaine Maxwell's landmark conviction, by which I mean it's a landmark because she wasn't fucking murdered first.
Right. Well, it's kind of interesting because I've been thinking about this a little bit, and it's like, I think up until now, we've all been operating on the level, well, or at least the elites have been operating on the level where it's like the classic thing, right? It's mutually assured destruction. They're all pedophiles together, you know, and then they have that on each other. So if one of them fucks up and, you know, misplaces some capital in a cult unapproved spot, then the rest of the cult of the bourgeoisie can be like, okay, well, we'll out them as a pedophile. But of course, we can't out them for like financial crimes, imperialism, war crimes, any of that, because then we would all be implicated too. But enough of them have been kicked out of the club of being wealthy and influential in this fashion that it's starting to reach critical mass where it's like, well, enough people are implicated by enough other people that it kind of seems like the whole ruling class is doing this shit. And now they have to like cover their asses and they're like, whoa, 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 whoa. We're not, they're literally doing like weird Redditor shit from 10 years ago where they're like, we're not pedophiles, we're ephebophiles. It's totally different.
So and where does noblesse oblige come into this? Does noblesse oblige mean that they're role models?
Is that
I don't know what noblesse oblige means. I don't know what that phrase is that people use to describe rich people.
Noblesse oblige, the inferred responsibility of privileged people to act with generosity and nobility towards those less privileged. That's a fairy tale. That's a fucking fairy tale right there.
They don't do that. they pretend to be doing that while doing even more horrific things than they do on a daily basis.
Yeah, absolutely.
But anyway, this USA Today thread has since been deleted, but it was talking about, it made the assertion that science has somehow proven that pedophiles develop in the womb. Mm-hmm. Like, but they deleted it because they got dunked on so hard. I mean, we're talking about a quote tweet to like ratio that is expressible in scientific notation.
I mean, that's the thing about like publications like USA Today is they're not even like scientifically literate enough, like a Wired magazine or like a, you know, one of those other like pop science journals, Psychology Today or whatever, that can be like, hey, there's new studies that might suggest something outlandish, blah, blah, blah. You know, pedophiles are formed in the womb. But then they hedge their reporting a little bit. But then when a real rag, you know what I mean? Just a real like newsstand piece of junk like USA Today gets their grubby little mitts on a story like this. They're like, scientists have proven that you're a libertarian before your dad even inseminates your mom.
That's actually true.
And it's right. Like, it's always so funny to see them mishandle this.
The original sin is the state.
Yeah, I think I'm looking at the article that they were referencing in this Twitter thread, and I suppose they decided they could have worded it all better. Because, yeah, I see the part where they're saying that it's like one of the findings is supposedly that you like pedophilia develops in the womb. Although it's like one of the scientists they quote, I think he says like it's like it develops, or at least there's a predisposition, which is like very, very different than just saying like in the womb you're automatically
a pedophile.
It
sounds like you're not trusting the science. You know? No, also, I want to see that scientist's Google history.
Yeah, I want to see this. I want to see this journalist's Google history. That's what I want to see.
I just want to talk.
Wrote this article.
I'm being generous saying the word journalist in this kind.
But I mean, like, it's you know, it's worth noting. It's like if there's an article like this, it's part of kind of the elite, you know, consent manufacturing machine that is the media, and there's a reason. And there's a reason it also coincides with like new revelations in the Epstein shit. Right. It's all part of the same shit. And this comes on the heels of the Financial Times posted basically the same time this morning, an article entitled "PSYOPs are a critical weapon in the war against disinformation." I'm going to repeat that. PSYOPs are a crucial weapon in the war against disinformation.
Yeah, this is insane. The idea that like we need to lie to you and manipulate your behavior so that you have the truth. I mean, I don't know.
We just need the government to do a propaganda campaign to make sure everyone knows the truth, which only they control and are the arbiters of and are in charge of.
Yeah, I mean, this is literally just like Joseph What's-His-Nuts, who founded the fucking Mormons, where he just like started Mengele. Pulling things out of a hat. Mangala.
Mangala the Mormon.
Mangala the Mormon. That's right. That's where the M comes from. That's also the M on Mario's hat. A lot of people don't know that.
Joseph Smith. Wow. The guy with the hat and the plates and the angels.
The guy with the last name that I could have randomly guessed because it's the most... like plain ass most common last name you could possibly have.
I mean, there were only like five last names back then in America. You know, you were either like John Mayflower, Smith, Jones. I don't know, some biblical shit on top
John
of that.
John Freedom, maybe.
John Freedom. You know, I should change my name to that. John Freedom.
I mean, but this whole article is
they
like
can't arrest you if that's her name.
That's right.
This whole article's like main thrust is stated right here in the first paragraph where they're like, Russia, China, and Iran have increased their use of disinformation and online propaganda to amplify anti-vax sentiment and foment political tensions in Europe and the US. And it's like, without even getting into whether, you know, what parts of that are true and not, that's exactly what the United States has always done, both absolutely. At home and abroad, mm-hmm. on not just the vaccine, but every issue possible.
You can assume that whenever, the state is telling you that the state's rival states are doing something, that the state is doing those things to you.
Right,
it's a doth protest too much type scenario.
Well, and here's the thing, like if they had actually discovered a country that was like doing this, it would be one that was more interesting. It would be one you hadn't thought of. But when it's Russia, mm-hmm. China, Iran, it's like, I don't believe you. Because that's literally just like the caricatures of countries that you like to pin every single fucking thing.
Russia,
on.
China, and Iran are guilty of male manipulator behavior for telling us that they don't want to watch the new Marvel fuckfest Thanos Super League whatever bullshit.
Extremely.
Russia tied a woman to the train tracks and Iran knocked over an old lady and stole her purse. Well, China's just watching and smoking a cigar. Yeah, they're all twirling their mustaches.
I mean, I got to think that like Harry Potter addled liberal political commentators really do think like this, though. They're just like tying it back to like America is the manic pixie dream girl and China is the chaos goblin line.
Vladimir
eventually
Putin,
figure it out.
Vladimir Putin wants to steal a large spiral lollipop from a baby who also probably wouldn't be able to fit the entire lollipop in their mouth while laughing maniacally. Here's why this is the same as the United States government psyoping its own citizens.
Yeah.
Here's why Loki is the perfect way to understand Vladimir Putin.
But I mean, this article that we have here is also like incredibly incoherent. They're just like, they open talking about Sweden's Navy trying to hunt down a suspected enemy submarine that might have been a phantom vessel. And then they just like, don't even return to it. They're
hold
just
up.
Like, this you're is part of the reason
the lead
we need
here.
A PSYOP.
What do we mean by phantom vessel? Like a ghost that a ghost is piloting the submarine? Or
It's one of the many things that go entirely unaddressed in this
It's like
article.
A ghost ship. It's like the entire submarine is a full apparition from the spirit world.
Well, and it's also, to me, it sounds like that like they had intelligence that there was a vessel there. But also, like, do you not have radar and stuff around
Far
the shores of the country?
Intelligence. Maybe they had extrasensory perception. it was a phantom vessel after all.
Yeah.
They had the fucking what's the guy's name from Ghost Adventures? He was there with like the EMP machine and being like, "Oh, I feel it's really cold in the water here. I feel like a dark presence. I think it's saying something." And then they're recording the static,
I
and
felt
they're like,
a presence.
Sounds,
yeah.
"Yeah, it sounds like he's saying submarine." And then the recording was like, "Bam, bam, 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 bam." They're like, "Kind of sounds like submarine."
The United States' NATO allies were like, "Look, we don't want the United States involved here, but we've spotted a phantom vessel." And the United States was like, "Well, who are you going to call?"
And then they just roll in with the USS Ghostbuster, which is like a gunship and not an exploratory science vessel or anything like that.
It's just all of the hosts of like TLC and True TV shows.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know where they should send all the hosts of like TLC and True TV shows and like ghost hunter shit is the fucking the gateway to hell in Turkmenistan.
Oh, that place where it's like natural gas is pouring out of the sand, but they can't stop it.
Yeah, it's a gigantic desert.
Does it ever rain there?
Not enough to put out a gas fire.
Great.
I mean, rain won't put out a gas fire if the gas fire is big enough.
Did you guys hear?
There's still oxygen between the rain drops.
Didn't the president of Turkmenistan do donuts around that?
Yes. Or his son or something like that. Yeah. Well, and then he released a song with his son or his son-in-law or his nephew. I think it was his nephew, where his nephew's like doing Ableton shit and playing guitar. And he's like kind of half-assed rapping.
Turkmenistan, the foyer. Another one. I'm from Turkmenistan, and I'm here to say I'm gonna do donuts around this flaming crater in a major way.
Yo, my name is Gurban Guly
of Turkmenistan.
Yeah,
another band featuring Uncle Magic.
Yeah, but so it's the Darvaza crater in Turkmenistan, and it's been on fire for a really long time. Many believe it formed when a Soviet drilling operation went wrong in 1971.
Many believe it was because of evil communists.
Right. Well, and he wants to put the fire out so he can harness the gas, obviously. Like, he doesn't want to...
Well, sure, you got to get that gas out.
Yeah, exactly. So he instructed his officials to, quote, find a solution to extinguish the fire.
Has no one been looking for one up until now? Like, that's a very funny way to word it. Like, hey, you guys know that thing that's been on fire for decades? Can someone look into like how to put that out? And they're like, we kind of have been. It's really hard. It's not.
Well, you ever put out the Centralia, Pennsylvania fire?
Is no, that it's still going underground.
That's crazy.
Well, that's a coal fire. That's even fucking harder to put out than a gas fire.
It's
a coal
fire. Crazy.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
It is. It's very truly weird. Insane. But it's like
it's nice and warm there.
A lot of these little post-Soviet states in like West Asia and shit, they're incredibly mismanaged, because when the Soviet Union fell, as soon as the Soviet Union didn't control these territories anymore, all of the Western intelligence agencies quickly swept in and made sure that the dumbest, most vicious guy in the room got put in charge.
Yeah.
So that's how you end up with guys like Gurban Guly in charge.
So wait,
are
you telling me if I was in Turkmenistan right now and they had like a, you know, a revolution, they would put me in charge because I'm the dumbest guy?
I think if you were in Turkmenistan in the 90s, yeah, you would have ended up in charge of something. They might have been like, this guy should just like run the transportation for the whole country. He knows about trains and probably buses and shit.
I mean,
I would kill it.
50-50 shot, they put you in charge of the trains and buses. You know, 50-50 shot, they throw you right into the Darvaza crater.
you're really
fuck
rolling
this
the
guy.
Dice.
He's annoying. Yeah.
throwing you into the pits of hell for being too annoying.
Yeah. But I don't know. It's like, it's kind of funny, this gate to hell or whatever they call it in Turkmenistan, because it's like, yeah, it's a hugely environmentally damaging thing to have around. Yes, that natural gas, although it's also environmentally damaging, could be used to power some kind of industry. But also it's like, isn't it kind of a sentimental thing now? It's like, I'm going to miss the gateway to hell, you know? Remember when we used to have just a big flaming maw in the middle of the desert in West Asia? Those were the days, man.
Yeah, think of all the tourism money you could bring in, to people coming and sightseeing by the gates of hell. Maybe you could like camp nearby it, do donuts like the president.
It's so dangerous. It releases like a lot of very dangerous chemicals to burn the gas in that like large of an amount, because I think the temperatures down in the actual crater are much higher than like a typical gas fire would be at the end of like a nozzle or something.
What if, okay, so hear me out here. All right. What if we, last episode, on the bonus episode, we talked about how the United States has a cheese surplus. Right?
Yeah.
What if we were to slide a large plate steel cap over the Darvaza gas crater, and we were to take the strategic cheese reserves of the United States, combine that with the breadbasket of the Russian Federation, and end world hunger by making 40 million grilled cheeses?
So you're saying we're gonna take a giant slab of something and basically turn this flaming crater into a gigantic tandoor.
A hibachi, yeah.
That sounds really nice, yeah.
Oh, okay, a hibachi. That makes a little bit more sense.
You need like a thousand chefs all around the edge chopping up onions, like, very impressively.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No. You get a helicopter to just airlift in giant roti, and you cook them on the inside of the of the pit.
It ends up like the Chernobyl helicopter where they fly too close to like the wires from a crane, and then
they have to
like pour more seasoning on it.
What's the Chernobyl helicopter? What was that?
During the Chernobyl cleanup effort, they were dumping, I think it was graphite onto, or maybe it was, I forget what it was, maybe lead or just like backfill.
Sure.
But they were dumping big buckets of stuff onto the exposed core using helicopters, and one of them flew too close to a crane that had its cables adjacent to the open core during the cleanup, and the pilots and they died doing that. The issue I have with that, the Chernobyl miniseries on HBO really dramatized it, because in the footage they just got too close to the crane, but in the HBO miniseries they made it so it was like, oh, the smoke is blinding the pilots, or it's radiation or something. HBO in typical fashion has to dramatize fucking everything.
Of course. I'm actually seeing in this Daily Mail article that that the guy who was flying the helicopter survived and died in 2021 of COVID.
No shit.
He was 78. Yeah.
That's crazy. That's fucking wild. I mean, did you guys see that footage? It was posted by a police department, so I'm a little like reluctant to share it, but it is pretty good footage of a guy who had crashed a Cessna in California and it landed directly some railroad tracks.
That was crazy.
Oh, I read about that. And, yeah,
that was fucking wild.
The cops were like frantically pulling him out, and then like literally seconds after they get him out of the plane, a train hits the plane.
That's called multimodal transportation. Yeah. All right. If you can crash a plane and be involved in a train crash in the same day, then I would have to hand it to Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg.
Who was the man who was piloting the plane?
He was fully responsible. Yes.
He was stress testing every possible infrastructural thing he could at the same time. It sounds like something you'd get an achievement for in Grand Theft Auto. It's like, crashed a plane onto a train track that also blew up the plane, and a cop died rescuing you because you shot him.
Did a cop die rescuing that guy?
No.
No. They all got away.
Oh, you're saying that the situation could have been improved if more cops were injured.
If it were a Grand Theft Auto type situation where you're just like going ballistic.
A scenario, if you will.
Yeah. Exactly.
I'm amazed we have two different stories of cops doing something good this week. Because we have this one where they, you know, save someone's life. And then there's also a very funny article or a tweet about a couple cops who got fired for playing Pokemon Go on the job. That really tickled me.
King shit.
Well, I mean, that one's a little bit of like that's a softball, right? Like that's an easy hit, because like the easiest small thing to do if you're a cop that is good is to not do your job. And
be lazy.
If that's what they were
very good at that. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure they do it all the time, and it goes, you know, there's a lot of unsung heroes who are just you know, cutting out early so they can go home and drink instead of beating someone up.
Well, no, I don't want to give anybody the idea that that's the right way to go, because it's like, if you're going to be the cop who's actually such a detriment to their department that you're a force for good, you have to spend an entire career actively sabotaging every single thing you can. Like, you have to steal the fundraiser money. You have to slash tires every day. You have to go under the hoods of the cars and loosen the belts every single day.
You need to put a cork in all of the shotguns so that when a police officer goes to fire a riot beanbag out of them, the barrel explodes and his hair is standing up, his head is like completely black, covered in ash, and the barrel of the gun is like, it's peeled like a banana because it exploded. Yeah.
And it says like oops or owned on some kind of white flag.
Yeah. Bang. I mean, that's so funny. I'm not saying go sabotage police officers' guns, but maybe
I am.
Check out a YouTube video called How to Sabotage a Gun.
Which guns you sabotage, that's up to you.
Use your discretion. That's what I'll say.
Yeah. I think my favorite part of the text of this tweet that we're looking at is it says, because I think this is some kind of like hearing where they were getting fired and they were like protesting and saying they weren't playing Pokemon Go and they did not succeed in protesting. It
let
says,
me
according
see,
to
let
evidence,
see your party.
Yeah. According to evidence admitted at the Board of Rights hearing, Snorlax is a Pokemon creature known as, quote, the sleeping Pokemon. because they were trying to catch a Snorlax. I think they were like driving all around looking for him.
I love that they're like, we need some background data on this monster they were trying to catch. Let's get the oldest style Pokemon entry we possibly can. Gen 1 Snorlax, the sleeping Pokemon.
Yeah, that's straight out of the 90s. Yeah, only 90s kids will get. I guess we got too many Zoomer cops who don't know about their Pokemon history.
Yeah, these cops grew up playing Ruby Red. They grew up playing Pokemon Black and White. No wonder they're so racist.
What if that was your pet issue? You were like, the reason cops are racist is because of Zoomers. We need more 90s kids who look at like old listicles from Facebook in 2010 about why the 90s
woke
the best
90s
decade.
Kids who remember when racism was quote over.
wait, can you imagine a Zoomer cop like just spending all day posting TikToks about being a cop?
They're on TikTok. You can go look at their fucking TikToks. I watch these fucking TikTok compilations on YouTube, and every so often it's just a cop doing a TikTok, and I want to throw my computer through my sliding glass door because
I was going to say you could remedy that situation by deleting TikTok, but you're going out of your way to go on YouTube and view these TikToks.
The idea is that they're curated, and I'm only going to see the funny ones.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely happened to me,
too. I don't think any of them are funny.
There's great TikToks.
There's great TikToks.
No, I'm talking about cop TikToks.
Oh, well, no, oh, yes. They're universally garbage, yes.
Oh, so you're just watching generic TikTok compilations.
Yes.
Specifically, Best of Cop TikToks Volume 733.
No. I'm watching 12-minute videos with titles like TikToks that will make you smile and TikToks that will, you know, make your girlfriend stop arguing with you. Just joke shit, you know?
Man-made TikTok horrors beyond your comprehension.
Yeah, TikToks that less the depress. Shit like that, you know?
TikToks that bake your noodle.
Yeah, kind of really thonk your donk.
You know what I do? You know what I do instead of that?
What do you do?
Play get pussy. League of Legends. No, I'm just kidding.
He's playing League of Legends, folks.
I've been really on truck TikToks lately. Like I'll watch truck TikTok compilations because it's like it's too cold for me to go out and work on my truck. So like I have to vicariously live through others' trucks.
You got to get your trucking in somehow.
You got to get it in. You got to keep on trucking.
Trucked up.
I got a lot of flack for this, but my truck, I nicknamed it Truck E. Cheese.
I like that. I don't know who would give you flack for that. That's a moron.
Yeah, the haters.
Yeah, because now it's
and losers.
It's a truck, but it's also an animatronic mouse, which is very cool. And it's also an underpaid teenager in a shitty costume.
Inside a
which
costume,
is not
maybe.
Cool, but 2 out of 3 ain't bad.
That's so true.
Also, you know, Five Nights at Freddy's has kind of left the zeitgeist, so no one's really gonna think of that, probably, unless they they do.
So many of the fucking TikToks are just like these robots' movements are somewhat, and it's just, you know, a repeating video of the Five Nights at Freddy's bear, whatever he is. I've never played the game, doing that thing where he's essentially like slow twerking.
Oh yeah. I've never actually played it. I feel like watching a let's play of it is basically like playing it because it's kind of just like opening and closing the door strategically to like use your power until morning or whatever, and looking at all the
those
cameras.
Those games that just have like a ton of character, I really feel bad that they exist in the YouTube era to some degree, because it is like I could just watch someone much funnier than me play this who is used to uploading videos of this style, and I could never have to pay for the game and it'd be basically the same thing. So
yeah, I mean, I'm sure it's also why the game got so huge in the first place is all of the like YouTube hype that like every little kid wanted to play it and like, you know, buy the plushies or whatever.
Every kid wanted to buy the plushies of the obscure indie horror game that had just become popular.
Some kid who's, I think he like lives next door and is like 7 or something, has like a stuffed Among Us toy. He like lost it over the fence once and had to ask for it back. Kids go nuts for Among Us, it seems.
You should have just said like sus and then just chucked it in his head.
Yeah, sus and throw it away.
The Among Us meme has persisted for so long. It's like shocking to me that it's still a meme now. Do people even still play Among Us? They keep releasing updates.
I played Among Us once in my life and that was enough for me.
I've never actually tried it. It seems fun. I mean, those kind of games are fun, but I haven't actually tried it.
There was a weird like hype wave during the first 9 holes of COVID, where where we had like game after game. It was like Among Us, and then it was like Fall Guys, and then I think there were a couple of other games that got really, really big all of a sudden, and then just like nobody really cares anymore because everybody's like work life home situation has just either stayed like so stagnant and everything seems boring now, or has changed like over and over and over again so fast for people that they're not even sure who they are anymore. They're like listening to music they've never enjoyed before, and they're like, I might be a totally different person now.
Yeah, the past just feels unknowable now. It's like a different country. This is so weird.
Yeah, it's just odd. I don't even know what's popular anymore. Like, what's the big game right now, right? Like, it feels like we haven't had a really big game since like Fortnite, I think.
Fortnite. Yeah, what is making like a splash? I don't know. I mean, like, Elden Ring is going to be pretty big when that comes out. But that's sort of like,
what is Elden Ring?
It's the next game from Software, who makes Dark Souls and Sekiro and Bloodborne and stuff. But that's going to be big among, you know, like video game nerds. It's going to sell like, right, you know, a few million copies, and it's going to be like on all the like gaming blogs and shit. But it's not going to like take over children's lives, really.
Right.
You guys see that China thinks they might have found water on the moon?
Oh, hell yeah.
It's always fun to have a little space
China
discovery.
Keeps winning at this space exploration thing. Yeah. I mean, well, how close are we to finding out that there is fucking life on the moon, and there has been for like a long time?
Well, the Nazis went to the moon. I mean, like, you know, the Argentina, the moon, it's basically like the same thing.
They're all basically I mean, that is like the impression that I think a lot of dads have. Like, I saw that there was that Indiana state legislator who was like equivocating about whether or not we should have a bias for or against Nazism when we teach the history of it in class.
No, I think you should hear them out.
Or against.
And I know, right? And it's just like, you know, tell me you're a fucking Nazi without telling me you're a fucking well, better yet, tell me you're an Indiana state legislator without saying I'm an Indiana state legislator. Yeah. But it's like, I wanted to comment on it. I just didn't know if like it was going to hit right, because I saw that dude and I was like, well, this guy watches the fucking History Channel, let me tell you.
Yeah.
Because if you watch the History Channel, you'll get the impression that like in 1946, Adolf Hitler personally went to the moon in a wooden crate they had strapped a rocket to.
That makes complete sense to me. I mean, have you ever watched like YouTube videos about secret Nazi occult tech? Like, they were communing with the underworld.
Yeah, they thought they were. They were extremely high on very pure amphetamines.
You ever played the Wolfenstein games? All right.
Not the modern ones.
That's fact. That's real.
I mean, I'm serious about like a lot of the insane occult shit. It was like partially a political consideration, but I think it was also like literally just mass amphetamine psychosis. Because if you look into the history of the drug use in Germany by the populace during the Nazi era, it's shocking how much amphetamine your average German consumed on a daily basis.
So
food consumption went down by like a third. People were eating a third less food.
So what you're saying is like, okay, so if drugs were more legal under Nazis than they are today, then you kind of have to hand it to the Nazis.
It's a huge problem. And they weren't, here's the thing. So they would give you amphetamines. They would give you your like, I think it was called like a Panzer cookie or something like that.
Panzer cookie?
I'm serious, because it would.
It's a cookie shaped like a tank, but it's also full of meth.
It came in the form of a biscuit. You would eat your little meth biscuit, and then you would be extremely high for like 14 hours.
Sick.
But they didn't just give them out to like soldiers. They would give them to like the housewives who stayed at home, and they would give them to the elderly, and they would give them to not young children but children. And it's like,
well,
you know,
it was good of them to not give them to young children, just
sure,
to children.
Just to
yeah,
children.
They're still growing. Once you've like done a bit of your growing, it's really fun to take meth.
Yeah, but that's the thing, is like, I've often wondered, like, and this was such a widespread thing, that if there's not like a permanent social and also probably health, or at least sensibility about what health is, in Germany, if there's not like a lasting effect of that, where everybody was just on meth, like your grandparents and great grandparents were just on meth for like,
mm-hmm. Speak for yourself.
Most of a decade.
My grandparents were farming potatoes in Poland.
Right. Yeah.
Well, but attempting to until the tanks rolled.
I mean, like for the people who live in Germany now, like, is that history like talked about? Or are you just like, yeah, granddad was a Nazi and my God, he did a lot of meth. Cause that sounds like, that sounds like an American thing. If you're like from like a, you know, a crazy, like, you know, KKK biker family or whatever, like caricature of an American racist, even though most American racists are just like dudes with,
they wear suits.
Jobs. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they're like uncles at worst and, you know, presidents at best.
American racists.
They're all just uncles. Or maybe your dad.
But I mean, like, that's, I've often wondered about that because it's just like, yeah, grandpa was on meth all the fucking time. Except well, it's well, in well, German.
Weren't the Americans doing that too? Like, Dexedrine was like a standard issue thing for soldiers?
Yes. Yeah, but we didn't give it to our...
Common, yeah.
We didn't give it to our populace because the way we were involved in the war didn't require... I mean, you could argue that it
No, they were just selling morphine and cocaine over the counter.
Right, yeah. I mean, we
absolutely
did that.
So it was way better. The America's number one, baby.
Well, because I think the American idea was that, like, we, while we're at war, we will give people sedatives and narcotics
chill
and intoxicants to take the edge off and make them more docile as well because then they can be more easily manipulated by things like advertisement. But the during World War II, especially, the German model was to mobilize every member of the country, right? Because this whole like fascistic ideology was that everybody was like together in the fascistic unit of being German and not
Grandma,
being anything
it's time
else.
To get off your ass watching Charlie Chaplin reruns and man that anti-aircraft gun. I don't care that you have to cookie. Pull your oxygen tank around with you.
I mean, that's like maybe only a slight exaggeration of some of the things that the Germans did during the war. Not to turn, I started by making fun of the History Channel, and now I'm like info dumping everything I know about like Germany during World War II.
I mean, as long as we're not doing like fucking Nazis on the moon shit, I feel like we're better than the History Channel.
I've gotten really into tank YouTubers, like YouTubers that are like, this German tank was, well, this German tank that was never built but was blueprinted was the size of Rhode Island.
I want to ride in that tank. That sounds cool.
Yeah, it would be sick.
It would just be like being on a cruise ship or something, like a cruise tank. You get on the tank and then
sick.
You can just like watch your
favorite
band.
Yeah, why don't they have cruise ships
gamble and stuff
with tracks that go on the land?
Yeah, I mean, like the thing is like I feel like the History Channel after a few years, right? Like they ran through all the stuff everybody actually knows about World War II, and then they were like, my God, the only thing that functions on this channel is World War II. Dads don't want to see the Korean War. Dads don't want to see ancient civilizations. Dads don't want to hear about
except
dinosaurs.
Aliens.
Dads want to see a Nazi. So they start like embellishing and fabricating until it's like 2022 and they're like, Adolf Hitler planned on turning the entire Rhineland into a military base with the mountaintops as turrets.
it's kind of like when an anime is like adapting a manga, but then they catch up to the manga and there's not any more to adapt. So they're like, shit, we got to make
just start making shit up.
Yeah, now they're just doing filler episodes, except it's about history where they're
it was
like,
just like the
Hitler,
last two seasons of Game of Thrones, right?
Which is that an too, anime. Yeah. Everyone knows that.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, it's very similar to that. Actually, they're like, and then Daenerys was gonna do this, maybe, I don't know, and then also Tyrion suddenly shows up here, and then Hitler's on the moon, I don't know, it's pretty crazy.
Yeah, and then halfway through the last season, the producers basically all but dip to go work on their new project that they're really excited about, that everyone hates.
What was the new project?
Nobody remembers, it's lost to time.
I think it was that Confederate show. They were planning to make a show with the incredible, you know, brilliant idea of what if slavery still existed in the U.S.? Like, what if slavery never ended because the Civil War didn't happen and we still had chattel slavery in the U.S.?
Man, I really love working on this Game of Thrones show. George R.R., he's such a great guy. He's such a great writer. The world is so well built, the characters. But you know what? There's just not enough overt racism. There is overt racism, but I want to work on a show where that's pretty much all it's about.
I want a show where the whole central concept is but rooted
they,
in racism and poor understanding of
didn't
history.
Didn't that already happen?
Exactly.
There was like that mockumentary like 20 years ago called Confederate States of America. Have you guys seen that?
I never saw that.
I haven't seen it. It just keeps coming up in my recommended on HBO. Yeah, because
your recommended is like, are you sure you're not super racist?
You like trucks?
They know me too well.
You're white. You might like this video. It's like a 50-50 chance you'll like this movie. And you're like, no, dude, I'm a communist. I'm not racist.
I think it's like a lib thing. I mean, mm-hmm. from the preview, it looks like it's like a mockumentary.
Right.
It's making fun of the racists.
Right, but it's doing it in that smug way where it's like, but America now isn't racist.
Sure,
yeah, it's like this is what would be like if America was still racist.
This is what the freaking Cheeto wants to do to America. We got to vote for Kamala Harris if she stops this.
Right, but this was 2004, so it's like this is what that idiot Bush Jr. wants to do America. What
were even big ears?
Yeah, with his big ears and his strategery. I still say strategery because it's honestly, it's a great little word.
What was the origin of that?
He was literally just trying to say strategy.
Yeah, he had many malapropisms. There was they misunderestimated me as a classic. That's a great one.
I use that word all the time. Are you saying that's not a real word?
That's the thing. It's like it's fun. It's so fun to say that you kind of have to hand it to him. It's kind of like some of like Trump's gaffes or like not even gaffes, just like the insane stuff.
You can underestimate somebody, right? Like you can underestimate somebody, but then you can misunderestimate them where you're underestimating them, but you're not underestimating them enough.
That's true. Right? I think he's onto something with that one.
That's right. Yeah. Let's get it on the books, folks. Okay. Misunderestimating.
Let's add it to Urban Dictionary.
Oh yeah. Well, in other news, in stoner news, something this podcast is always proud to bring you. We want to talk about an exciting new business venture. A timeshare. No, wait a minute. Snoop Dogg is selling hot dogs, everybody. In what seems like the most natural of all possible business moves, Snoop Dogg has finally realized what stoners who listen to his music are interested in, which is a tube of meat.
100%.
And this comes on the heels of 6 years ago, Snoop Dogg apparently said he ain't never eating a motherfucking hot dog again. It seems that he has legally filed a trademark for the trademark Snoop Dogs.
Okay. What if instead of hot dogs, what if he's starting a puppy mill?
Oh no, come on, Snoop, don't do that.
You know, that trademark could be anything. This is just purely speculation because the trademark was filed. It could be literally anything. It could be a sequel to the classic film featuring who starred in Snow Dogs?
Oh, the Disney movie?
Yeah,
Cuba Gooding Jr. movie?
Yeah, it was Cuba. Okay, it's going to be Snoop and Cuba, and they're going to do Snoop Dogs.
Snow Dogs too. This time it's Snoop Dogg.
That's right.
That would be really fun, but it looks like he has confirmed that it's going to be hot dogs and other types of sausage.
Oh, okay. Other types of sausage. At least he's branching. At least he's diversifying.
Right, right. I can get
don't want to put all his eggs in one basket.
I can get my Snoop Furter. I can get my Snoop Schweiger. Mm-hmm. I can get my...
some Snoop Mustard, you know, maybe.
Snoop Worst, of course, with a nice mustard. Yeah. I would be remiss without mentioning the Snoop Worst, honestly. I mean, here's the thing.
Do you want grilled onions or do you want Snooper Kraut on top?
It'll probably be really good too, because when like rappers and other celebrities like this branch out and create a product, it's either utter dog shit or it's like surprisingly good. Like,
oh, do you guys remember Rap Snacks?
I bought some Rap Snacks recently and they were good.
They're
really
pretty good.
Them.
But they keep adding new rappers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, it's like all different kinds of rappers.
Them. Yeah.
Yeah, let's see what the lineup is now. Let's see. Open.
I was
going to
mention Eminem's spaghetti restaurant called Mom Spaghetti in Detroit. It's like a little a drive-through place, and you get spaghetti in like a Chinese takeout container, which honestly is really smart. Like, why does no one else package it like that?
Okay, yeah. We got Lil Boozy. We got Migos.
Well, you gotta say what their flavor is. Like, Lil Baby, that's honey cheddar and sour cream. That sounds good.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Migos is white cheddar with
a dab of
ranch.
They gave Lil Baby more than one flavor. I'm not interested. It needs to be one flavor per rapper. You have to pick your favorite flavor when you make the rap snacks, or just launch your own chip brand. Like, Lil Baby, if you can't choose between honey cheddar and like sour cream and onion, just open a whole ass company.
They got four flavors of Cardi B. They got habanero, honey drip, jerk barbecue, and cheddar barbecue.
See, here's the thing,
wow,
though.
That's
is
too
like
much.
I'm ready for Snoop Dogg's because I think there's going to be a much more well curated selection, and since it's all under the umbrella of Snoop Dogg himself, there's no worry that they're going to keep adding, you know, rappers to the roster. You're not going to suddenly be looking at a Lil Durk jalapeno bratwurst or something.
I want to get the future Perk flavored chips.
Yeah,
those would be good. But yeah, I feel like they should really have one flavor per rapper, because then you can be eating it and be like, I'm just like Migos right now. This is the chips they eat when they're high.
At the school lunch table, I'll trade you a Migos for your DaBaby, which is devalued because he's been canceled.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, these look good. Lil Yachty, they basically look like Takis, hot chili pepper and lime, kind of like
sick
hot Cheetos or something.
Yeah, that sounds
good. I love a good Taki.
You know Lil Yachty is one of those guys who has like discerning tastes in like gas station and convenience store snacks. Like,
oh,
he really knows what's up.
Well, he had discerning tastes until he blew out his taste buds on hot Cheetos and Takis.
That's true. Yeah, but I mean, what a way to go for the taste buds.
What kind of raps next do you guys think Tom McDonald would make?
Boot.
Just boot leather flavored chips. Or it just is boot leather. They're really chewy and hard to get down to.
It's just it's like that fruit leather, but it's straight. It's just boot leather.
Oh yeah, I like fruit leather. It's
fruit
nice.
Leather is actually good.
They make noodles too. That's pretty cool. Good. They make rapper noodles.
Here's the thing: I don't think rappers should have to branch out into that kind of stuff, right? Like, if you're a rapper, like, I think we should have a robust enough rap economy that you shouldn't have to sell me a jalapeno popper flavored chip, right?
Oh, you're saying that they shouldn't have to branch out into making snack foods.
Yeah, like, I don't, like, you know, props to Snoop Dogg for being a guy with enough business acumen to realize that stoned people are going to want to eat a hot dog. But
absolutely.
Like, you know, Snoop Dogg's a living legend. He shouldn't have to tarnish his name with this to make a few extra bucks. And I'm sure he doesn't think
of
it that
way. Why
would
you consider tarnishing his name to sell hot dogs? Are you saying that hot dogs are somehow inferior tubes of meat?
I love hot dogs. I'm like I'm a glizzy gulper over here. I'm one of the I'm a glizzy king, you know, but I just don't know. I don't think that they should have to do that. I think I should be able. I'm one of those guys, you know, where I want to go to the store and I want to buy a pack of hot dogs that are just straight up shrink wrapped with a plain white sticker on them that says hot dogs and then has a price. Mm-hmm. And some ingredients on the back, like, and it should say, like, you know, pulverized meat, water.
You want the like store brand for everything. It just says hot dog. The graphic design was done by like the same guy who does the graphic design for every other product under the store brand. So it's kind of just like a color he picked at random by spinning a wheel and then some text with a weird draft
shadow.
That's the ideal. That says hot dogs.
And then you're John, you don't want any variety. How are you going to compare, you know, you're not going to have two different kinds of jalapeno chip or whatever to compare to each other. And I'm like, yes, I will. A brown paper bag that says jalapeno chip type 1 and a brown paper bag that says jalapeno chip type 2.
I like that.
Yeah, it would be nice if there was a little more cultural vibrancy in other areas of our lives and less at the supermarket shelves where there's just
in
like
packaging. I mean, I've never lived such an exciting life as like the packaging on a bag of chips. Like, the packaging on a bag of chips will have you believing that you will like cross over into a world of amazement the minute that you open this thing up. That you will be on like a safari of flavor, not metaphorically, but literally hacking your way through like the Dorito encrusted jungle.
You'll be shooting a fucking Dorito elephant with a huge rifle.
Instead, you open it up, it's 90% air. Yeah,
exactly. I mean, the air thing in the bags, that doesn't bother me as much as long as like the product is good. I just feel like so many products are really slack and like a regular Frito. Has anybody
what? You don't like Fritos?
I like a chili cheese Frito. I like a honey barbecue
you
Frito.
You mean putting chili on a Frito?
Well, okay, look, if you're going to put chili on the Frito, then it's just a chip. But like, Fritos are sold in those little individual bags. Like, you're just going to eat a bag of plain Fritos.
Mm-hmm. I would. I like Fritos.
Yeah, Fritos are like pretty good. I think I feel what you mean, John. You want like a little bit more flavor. I think I actually read that like
something going
on. The inventor of Fritos sort of envisioned them as like a thing that you would put on top of like soups or salads or something.
I like that.
It was basically And yet he was like horrified when he realized people were just eating a bunch of Fritos in a city. Like,
what? Was horrified.
Yeah.
That's so funny. I honestly can get behind that logic. Like if I was going to have like a nice tortilla soup with some Fritos on top, that would be really, really good.
What if
they're nice, nice and simple flavor, just like
what about the videos
salt.
Of people where they take a bag of Fritos, they open the bag up and they just start pouring like gas station nacho cheese and gas station chili into the bag.
That's a beautiful. Walking taco. My high school sold those during basketball games. They're fucking amazing. I love them. Yeah. That, you put a little tomatoes really in good. There, little lettuce. You eat that shit with a spork, plastic spork.
Yeah, that sounds
spork.
Fucking great. Actually, so I would eat it with chopsticks. I feel like chopsticks would be
that
fun.
That might work.
Chopsticks would be good. I've never had the option, but that sounds like a good idea.
It feels like it'd be hard to eat chili with chopsticks, but if it's in a bag, you can kind of just like push it down into your mouth. So
no,
like,
you take the bag and just pour it into your mouth at some point.
I hold the chopstick, which holds the Frito, which holds the chili, is the thinking
right.
here. Right. I hold the
and
CD
then the
player
universe
in my
holds
hand.
You.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Exactly. I hold the CD player in my hand and the music comes out the backpack speakers.
what?
No, nothing. It's an old, very obscure meme.
It's not just about weed and communism, folks. We talk about memes sometimes, too.
Once in a while as well. Well, before we cap things off, I do want to just say RIP Bob Saget. I did see in the news that I was watching as I was restocking vending machines in a break room at a production facility today that apparently he had died of what they call natural causes.
He was on tour.
Yeah.
He was like, he was about to go do another show, or he had just gotten back from doing a show and then they just found him dead in his hotel room. That sucks.
Yeah, it really does suck. His writing partner was like, he was in the middle of so many things. He had like a lot of stuff going on and it's just a horrible tragedy. I know hasn't always been everybody's favorite comedian, but like he was a powerful figure of American culture.
What do you think about this whole thing where people are like taking jokes that he made about like unsavory topics and then being like, well, he must have been actually like this.
I don't know. I think
I don't really know his career that well.
I think with Bob Saget, it's really obvious that he was doing provocative humor for the sake of being provocative. I'm not saying that that's always a good idea, but I'm saying that when you do it, you should do it in a way that lets people know that that's absolutely what you're doing and it's not to be taken entirely seriously. Now, he had the advantage of being in a situation where he was trying to break through this like very clean image of being the dad from, what was the fucking show called?
Full House.
But, and that put him in a situation where he could execute that really easily. I feel like a lot of people have tried to imitate it and have completely had shit just completely blow up on them because it takes a lot of comedic skill to pull that kind of shit off. You know, you're not as good at comedy as Bob Saget. I'm sorry.
That is true.
I am.
Yeah, Todd is specifically and no one
Keith
else.
Keith Freeman, Frito Boy.
I'll die on the hill that Fritos are good by themselves.
They're good, yeah. I don't know if I want like a huge bag as much as I want a bag of chips.
No,
but, like,
I've never had Fritos in a bag larger than the little snack size bags you get in elementary school with your lunch.
I feel like that's the maximum. Nice.
A tiny bag like that with a sandwich, it's great because it gets the salty. Yeah, yeah. The sandwich might have like some creamy mayo or something on it. The balances each other out.
Oh yeah, well I mean, or you could throw some Fritos on your sandwich. I could see that. I can see that. But honestly, at that point, if you're like selecting a snack out of the vending machine, I'd just as soon throw some Funyuns on my sandwich. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, sure.
The thing with Funyuns for me is like, I like Funyuns, don't get me wrong. But too much Funyuns, they start to taste like, I feel like I start to be like, this just tastes like artificial onion.
It does. It's onion powder. It's onion powder, salt, and corn are pretty much the ingredients in a Funyun. And I love it. But I can see where you're coming from.
I've never had those.
They're so good. They're fucking
You're
going
to make me have to make a gas station run after this.
You're going to have to venture out into the cold, dressed like you're in The Thing, wearing your like furry coat pulled up just to get
I'm wearing my coat inside right now because my fucking apartment's cold.
Yeah, it's pretty cold. My floor right now is pretty freezing. I'm wearing warm socks and my little toes are still cold.
Get
all right,
slippers.
Well, before we all give detailed explanations of how cold our feet are, it's probably time to wrap up the show.
Yeah, if you want to hear about that, you got to subscribe to the Patreon and look us up on WikiFeet.
Yeah, no free, no free feet.
Free feet, that's right.
All right, beep on, y'all.
All right, bye,
guys. Keep beeping out there. Bye, everyone.